Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I do apologize because I sound quite raspy. Alongside me today, Ryan.
What's up, mate?
And
Alex, how you doing?
Let me check. Try it again.
Alex.
Yay!
Yeah,
it's working.
It's working. It's working.
It was more of a mic check than anything else, right?
All right, so there's a lot of results, and I think everyone's in agreement. Like you guys were saying, that maybe we should just start with the FA Cup.
Yeah, so we had the two semi-finals this weekend. Chelsea versus Spurs in the first one on Saturday. Take it away, mate. What did you think?
That was an excellent game. That was end-to-end, back and forth. Obviously, if you're a Tottenham fan, it wasn't the result you wanted. Chelsea ended up winning 4-2. It was an excellent game in terms of just the quality.
And the Matic goal in the end was...
The Matic goal was truly really, worthy of a match winner. I mean, it was fantastic.
I was for Tottenham, and I was just like...
Yeah, that's all you can do. You could
see, like, Lloris almost wanted to just stand there and start doing the same thing as well, because wasn't getting anywhere near that.
Well, he didn't even try and go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great game. It started off it was really end-to-end pretty much the whole game. It started off so quickly, and it started off really Endeverald took down Pedro on a breakaway in about the third or fourth minute, and then Willian ended up having a free kick from there, which was he did very well with, and ended up scoring, going from left to right. Lloris was blocked by the wall; he couldn't even see the ball coming in. It wasn't a great free kick, but it got the job done.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was just this is always the thing when you have clearly the best two teams in the country at the moment, especially this year. Going at it, sometimes it can be a little bit of a stalemate, but it was so refreshing because it is. And I think the beauty is because it wasn't. I think if this was in the league, this would have ended up being a 1-0 or a 0-0 or something like that. The fact it's a one time, you win it, you're in the final. Both teams, all guns blazing, just going for it. It was brilliant, great match.
What's great is that a lot of times in these big games, you see a cagey match where no one really wants to make any mistakes, and it seemed to be the opposite, where both teams are going for it the whole game. Kane came right back after the Willian goal and had a great little flick on header in the in about the 18th minute, and from there it seemed like up to that point, I would say that Chelsea were the better team, and pretty much from there until the Hazard goal in the 75th minute, it was Tottenham pretty much dominated. Of course, there was the Willian penalty kick, which was legit. I thought it was a really poor play by Son to go in for a slide tackle in the box against Victor Moses, and it's kind of an interesting situation that Son was even in that position. He was playing left wing back, which is normally a position that's more of one for a defenseman. They did not play Ben Davies there, and they ended up putting Son in there, and the idea being that Victor Moses would be defending more than attacking. It didn't matter in the end. Moses made his imprint on the game with that one play.
Yeah.
And it was a nice little play. He kind of flicked it past Son and then just kind of ran into him on purpose. You could tell he was going for the penalty the whole way.
I think it was one of those games that's really strange, but the goals came at the right times to make it a really good game. Like Chelsea scoring early, Kane hitting back midway through the front, the penalty just before halftime, and then Ali just after halftime. So kind of... all the ingredients were there for it to be a great game, and it was a good game. Chelsea march on to the final.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about the decision from Conte to play, or not really play, but to put both Diego Costa and Eden Hazard on the bench? He obviously brought them on in the second half, but that's a pretty that could have been controversial if it didn't go their way.
Yeah, I think, Chelsea, Costa, for me, over the past month hasn't been great. Hazard's been good, but he's played a lot of games. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's always shocking when you see those two names, if you like, on the bench.
I think the idea was to put on more speed.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that you don't have speed with Hazard, but you definitely, you get more muscle and power with Costa, and they put in, can't really pronounce this guy's name, Batshuayi or something?
Batshuayi, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nope. He's a young guy, very fast, talented, and it looked like the right decision very early on, but then it kind of, later in the second half, or no, I guess I should say earlier in the second half and towards the end of the first half, it really didn't look like maybe that was the right play. But
yeah.
You know what the thing was, I find was kind of not refreshing, because this is something you expect from the FA Cup, but how in recent years with Europe and stuff like that, people are not playing their A teams, you know, even at this late stage. But this game was, like you said, exciting end to end.
Brought a bit of passion back into the FA Cup,
and
didn't
maybe
it?
That
a bit
might
more excitement.
Right.
Yeah, you had like four good teams going into these two semi-finals, and both didn't, you know, weren't letdowns for sure.
And if you look at who's been in the FA Cup semi-finals the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, there's always been a few clubs that have been surprises.
Yeah.
And usually one of those surprise clubs ends up making it into the final.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not the case this year, where you have the four of arguably the top four teams in England getting through. Maybe Arsenal's not there.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, three of them.
we'll get to Arsenal, though. They obviously played pretty well today.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, moving on then. I know we're going to obviously go back to Saturday, but might as well jump into the second semi-final again at Wembley. Arsenal versus Man City. Arsenal running out 2-1 victors in extra time. I think it was like near the end of the first half of extra time.
It was about 1 minute left. Yeah.
Yeah. Sanchez managed to poke it through. I think it went through Kompany's legs and squeezed that in. So that's a huge result for Arsenal, because I didn't fancy them in this game. I thought City were going to do the business.
Not many did think that Arsenal were going to win that. And Kompany actually had a foul right before that to set up a free kick, which ended up being, maybe it was a free kick or maybe it was a corner kick. Either way, Kompany, I didn't think – he looked rusty. He's been playing just limited games in the league and really in the cup and all competitions this year. Just he's been injured, of course. And he looked like it in this game. He wasn't very impressive, but hey, good on Arsenal by doing what they did. I was very surprised by this result
there. Yeah, I mean, a great bounce back as well, because you know, obviously City went 1-0 up, and for them, you know, especially recently, you've just kind of seen Arsenal just go through the motions at this point when they go 1-0 down, especially in the second halves of games this year. But yeah, Monreal with a tidy little finish, good ball across, and then obviously, like we said, Sanchez with a winner. So something to sing about for the Arsenal fans. Me and Andy, we were actually joking on the way here that it's the first time in 2 months that the Arsenal have had something to cheer about, and our resident Gooner isn't here today. So that's a bit of a shame, but I'm sure he thoroughly enjoyed that. And yeah, marked on the calendar now for FA Cup final, so...
FA Cup definitely has a special part, a special position in your
heart.
That'd
be a great game as well. Yeah. Arsenal, Chelsea,
yeah.
London Derby.
Yeah, don't get too many of those in the Cup final.
They're both teams. I know it doesn't really make a difference, I don't think, when it comes to final day, but, you know, both teams, not a very long journey to get there.
Yeah.
You know, it's on your doorstep.
And you're going to get a lot of fans from those two teams there for sure.
Yeah, that place is going to be rocking.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that'll be a really good final. Actually.
What's the stadium capacity on the Wembley Stadium?
I think it's 85.
Yeah, it's gonna feel like
it's
World 85. Cup final.
Yeah, the attendance for that game was about 85,700. So yeah, right on there.
These are the games that are like you think that you wish the World Cup games would be like. You know, the finals. You know, where people end to end, but they never are.
No, yeah.
But what are your thoughts on the situation that happened with Silva going off early He got injured, and then, granted, Aguero scored, but he was off in the 99th. I mean, it seemed as though some of the best players for cities were going dropping like flies. I mean, Fernandinho had to come off as well. It's tough to play without your best players.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of it, things did actually kind of go Arsenal's way a little bit. But again, you beat what's put in front of you. And it's such a one-off game. There's no semi-final replays anymore. So which I think has made it good.
Yeah. So what is it? It just goes to penalties now, right?
Yeah, extra time penalties, job done on the day, yeah.
But I think we have to give some credit to Monreal for that first goal.
Yeah.
That was a great pass in from Oxlade-Chamberlain, who had a very, very good game, one of the better games I've seen from him of late. He's kind of been in the background. It was actually semi-surprising team selection by Wenger. He went for it, and it paid off for him. So kudos to Wenger. I think it was one of the... He didn't play Bellerin, who apparently has had an ankle injury a lot recently, which kind of came out after that game a few weeks ago where it was apparent that someone wasn't right because he got burned by, I forget exactly who it was. But anyway, the whole idea here, the key here is that Arsenal, they deserve to win, maybe, maybe not, but ultimately, you know what? They won, and that's all that any supporter of Arsenal is going to care about come the final, which is coming up here in, a few weeks now?
Yeah, right at the end of May. All right, so I think that's it for FA Cup.
Who do you fancy in the final?
Chelsea. I think the only thing I think Chelsea will win. I think a lot comes down to what happens in title race.
Right.
Can you imagine if Chelsea blow what was effectively a 12-point lead at one stage, blow the league, and then all they have to look forward to is a match at Wembley against Arsenal for the FA Cup. I could see Arsenal winning. If I can see, look, Chelsea for me, they're either going to win the double or win nothing. I don't think it's one or the other.
You couldn't see them winning the league and then Arsenal doing something like they did against City today?
No. They'll win the double or...
Because they're going to come out of winning the league with so much, gust. They're just going to blow
there's
over.
Such like actually like Arsenal. There's still that prestige. There's such a short list of clubs that have ever won the double, especially Conte being able to do it like in his first year. That's huge. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm leaning towards. But I think if they throw the league away, I think it's there for Arsenal for the taking.
Yeah, but do you feel like they're at this point less likely to throw away the league, particularly with Tottenham? That's a tough loss for Tottenham.
If you're going to go that route, obviously it's more likely that Arsenal will beat Chelsea in a one-off game for the FA Cup. And obviously, Chelsea's obviously odds would be ridiculous, I would think, for them to throw the league away. But strange things have happened. So I don't know. I still fancy this going to the last game of the season.
For the league, yeah.
For the league, yeah. And then I think the FA Cup final... Like whatever happens in the league is going to play actually a huge, huge role in. Look, because Arsenal aren't going to get top four, so they need.
They have a chance.
Something.
It's slim, but they do have a chance.
I mean, yeah, but they're not going to do it.
Unlikely. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about this for Spurs credentials to win the league? Is this like a body blow or is this like a knockout punch in terms of not in terms of obviously they drop points or anything like that, but in terms of just. Like mentally, oh wow, okay, the team that we're trying to overcome in the league, they just beat us. Are they the better team now? Is that what you're thinking if you're Spurs? Or do you just say, you know what, they got the better of us today?
Yeah, they got the better of you on one day. Because look, it wasn't that long ago that I think it was at Stamford Bridge last year. Maybe it was at the Lane. But you thumped on like 4-0 or 5.
That was last year. Last season.
So I'm saying like it's just a one off game, obviously they're much more improved, but I think Tottenham are more improved than that game as well, so yeah, they won't be reading too much into that. At the end of the day, the team that ends up winning the league ultimately deserve to win the league. They accumulated the most points over the same amount of games with the most wins and the most goals.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just the way it is. I wouldn't worry. I'd be happy as a United fan losing home and away to Man City every year if we won the league. if we still ended up winning the league. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean...
Yeah, but you don't necessarily know
you
that.
You wouldn't want to say that if you actually I'm lived in Manchester.
It's not going to like take anything away from the achievement. I think, look, it takes... For any team to have that big of a lead at that point, they must have been absolutely storming, yeah? Like Chelsea have been. And then for them... Look, for them to throw it away, it's not necessarily throwing it away because that team behind has to keep pace, has to keep pushing them, keep applying this pressure. Because... That 12-point gap could have easily gone to 15, 18 points at one stage, but it hasn't because Spurs are just being relentless.
And Spurs beat them in, I think it was in December. And that was a huge, huge game, obviously. Dele Alli with two goals from two crosses from Eriksen.
Yeah.
It could have been bigger, and they could have been the knockout blow there, but in the end, Tottenham really just, they put their own body blow, if you will, on Chelsea, and hey, you know, we've got a league that's not settled yet.
Yeah.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us 434-284-9470 if you have any questions about the FA Cup or indeed the Premier League. Just a quick question to you, Ryan. Like, obviously, in recent years, the FA Cup has lost some of its prestige and importance, and we hope that won't continue on that trajectory, but. It's hard for Americans to maybe understand just how big the FA Cup is. I mean, you can watch the Premier League, but in terms of the day,
FA Cup final,
is there anything that you can compare it to over here, like the Super Bowl, or do you think it's...
I wouldn't go that far. All I would say is, being an Englishman growing up where I did, your whole year...
That whole weekend.
The whole year, you were itching for the FA Cup final. It's such a day, like you wake up, you get ready, you get your kit on, you might go and have a kick around outside. Yeah. You know the two teams that are playing. So we used to play like World Cup over on the high school field, mm-hmm. and everyone, you'd basically just be a player who's playing that day. And then it's everyone's back in, lunch at 12 o'clock, getting ready for 3 o'clock kickoff. And it's just it was the biggest day in the football calendar.
You remember you used to watch the buses come through the crowds to get there and they'd all be wearing their suits.
Yeah, I mean, it used to, like the coverage used to start at literally
9 a.m.
Yeah, like 9 o'clock in the morning for a 3 o'clock kickoff.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. And they would have like the old guys play, like the 40-year-olds have like little mini matches, and kids would have a mini match that won competitions and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge day.
Well, I think the thing you have to remember about the FA Cup historically is that it's been played at Wembley, and you talk about the Premier League; those games are all played in teams' home stadiums, and so when you play in the national stadium. You have 85,000 people. Granted, it wasn't always 85 in the old Wembley, but you still have.
There's
more actually because they had standing room. Yeah,
it was like 98.
Yeah, and So anyway, it's a much bigger stadium, obviously, than most stadiums in England. And you get some people from one side that are on, but then of course you get a lot of neutrals that are like, well, let's say you're a Tottenham fan and you have tickets to the final.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you probably become a Chelsea supporter.
But the thing is with the FA Cup as well. So even when teams like you had Wigan win it not long ago. What was it? 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, against City. Like, this is Wigan, yeah. They have a 20,000 seat stadium. And they can just about fill it with their fans, yeah? And now you're talking about shipping them like 50,000 tickets for this, and the place is rocking. It's literally, look, there's so many people that work jobs, like 7 days a week. They support, that's their team, they grew up supporting that team, but never really go and see them on a weekly basis. That's it. If you're a fan of that team, that type of team, and they get to a final, you're going to that game.
There automatic.
It might be the only game you've gone to in the past 10 years, but you'll go into that game.
Right.
And I think that's what the beauty is, because the atmosphere, FA Cup final day, is just electric.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. The time is 20 past 6. And we're back. All right, so the first game of the week was on Monday of last week on the 17th, and that was Middlesbrough versus Arsenal. And obviously Mark is not here. Arsenal beat them 2-1. So
it did what they had to do, Arsenal. They needed to get back to winning ways. It was a good game for them, good timing to go down to Middlesbrough. But it still wasn't convincing. still wasn't convincing.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, Arsenal scored the first one. Sanchez had a goal, and then Negredo brought them back into it at the early side of the second half. And, man, if you're an Arsenal fan at that point, your fingernails are just getting chomped away on.
Yeah. And you had Ozil obviously score the winner, but, yeah, I wasn't convinced. I was like, if I was an Arsenal fan and, you know, you go watch him week in, week out, I'm not being fooled by that performance, if you know what I mean. Okay, it's 3 points, fair play. You beat who's in front of you. And sometimes you can have those days, like we've had plenty as United fans, where you get the job done, but you're less than convinced with the performance.
Right.
But the thing is that, you know, if you discard yesterday, why do I keep saying that? When you, I discard today, the FA Cup game. Before that, they haven't put in any convincing performances. There's the amount of times this year, even from week one, us doing this show, so many times, even Arsenal with the results, I've gone not 110% convinced here. Like, it's just kind of, a lot of the times, just feel like going
through
the motions.
Well, the game just before this, Arsenal lost 3-0 to Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had no idea what to expect from Arsenal coming into this game. And, you know, Arsenal, for the most part, dominated the game in terms of possession. And
yeah.
But you know what? They made it so difficult against a team that's going to drop.
Just awful.
I mean, so why is it so difficult for Arsenal just to bypass the teams that they should? And it's not like we're being overly critical here. It literally is that it's been a struggle in most games for Arsenal pretty much all year. They really haven't like run rampant over many teams.
No.
And particularly in 2017, we should say. I mean, their form, like literally in this calendar year, has been abysmal. And okay, you know what? They've won a couple in a row now. They beat Middlesbrough. Maybe that just gave them enough of a lift to turn around and beat City today. But, you know, if you're an Arsenal fan, you can't really be happy with the way things are going. Sure, maybe things have started to turn your way a little bit, but I mean,
I'm not convinced.
This game exactly probably didn't convince you, saying, you know what, Wenger's the guy for the next 5 years.
All right, so let's move into Saturday. Sometimes I think, like, when they show them on TV, they pick the game that they think is going to be the one that's going to be the high-scoring, exciting game. And they didn't pick that one this weekend.
No, they picked the worst game.
Right, West Ham versus Everton.
Yeah.
Which, on paper, sounds like a really good game.
It was so end-to-end. Listen to this for a stat. The first shot by either team, not necessarily, not on target, just the first shot in general, came in the 28th minute. Now, think about kicking a ball around for 28 minutes and not even getting close enough to pull the trigger. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That said, there wasn't, I'm not saying there was a lot of excitement in this game, but one play that really got me to scratching my head was there was a throw in where they threw it back to the goalie. Back to Adrian. This was West Ham.
Yeah.
And he tried to just boot it away because goalies can't touch it in that situation anymore. And he like kind of miskicks it right off Lukaku, and the ball's just like rolling in the 6-yard box.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is going on?
That's when he slid in and got it. And then, but
he slid in 2-footed.
Yeah, and he brings his foot up towards Morales, and Morales is thinking, like, well, hang on a minute. If that was an outfield player going in to make that challenge, you'd probably get a red card for a dangerous play.
Exactly.
What? Yeah.
I was going to ask you that. I was like, what would that have been elsewhere in the field? But red card it is, huh?
Strange one. Yeah, I mean, but then it with the intent as well. Like, yeah, he's got the ball in his hands, but he's cleared the player out.
I mean,
Is it a penalty? I don't know. I was scratching my head when I was looking at it, going like,
it wasn't 50-50, maybe 60-40. It was, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, like, so how protectionist of keepers are we? I think Adrian got really lucky that Morales didn't really go in on that one and put his foot there.
Yeah.
Because if his foot was there, I think you have to call it a penalty.
I think so too. Because to me, it's the equivalent of a defender clearing a ball away to safety and then having a swipe at somebody, then kicking out at someone. Kind of. Like the play. Once it's in the keep, it's different. Because once the keeper's got control of the ball, and then he does something after the fact. But it's got a bit like, how do you?
It's a gray area.
Compare it really. The only thing I could think of is you head it at a play, and then you throw an elbow at someone. I don't know.
But that's the thing is, that would have been a very interesting decision. I would love to hear from a referee what they would have to say. Not unfortunately, but the play never materialized.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to.
It was head scratcher, though.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the next game with the Liberty Stings.
Well, actually, there was one other play in that was very late that was also another potential penalty, and it was James Collins was grabbing hold of Ashley Williams, literally had his jersey, probably pulled it a full yard.
Yeah.
This is how much of an arm he had on it, and James ends up winning the header, and everyone's looking around just like, wait, so what's a penalty these days?
Yeah.
I still don't understand. I mean, when a play like that on a corner, it's just, I don't know. I don't even know who the keeper was or the referee was in that one. But
talking about penalties, did we see Arnautović's miss?
This game was crazy. So you have Llorente with a great header, another assist for Gylfi Sigurdsson. Llorente with a great header, past Jack Botlund, who made his first appearance in like a year. He's been off with that ankle injury.
That was like a zonal marking thing. He just shrugged off whoever was manning him.
And then you had Mawson. So you have Ndidi who,
Ndidi.
He's marking that.
That was bad.
Marking that zone, and you see Shawcross say to him like, "Don't get dragged. Just stay where you are. Don't get dragged." Mawson makes a run straight in front of him, and he just starts following Mawson, and then Llorente just bullet. Not going to miss.
That's the way to do it, you know? Just like into the turf.
And then it was just a crazy 60 seconds where you had Stoke get a penalty, Arnautović steps up and smashes it against the bar and over. Shocking penalty, absolutely terrible.
No, that was second half, but yeah.
Yeah. What did I say?
60 seconds or something?
No, I'm saying the game hinged on the craziest 60 seconds.
He
misses the penalty, and it was like 60 seconds later, Carroll goes up the other end. Good shot, takes a deflection off Joe Allen and takes it past Butland again. No chance for Jack. Crazy. It could have been 1-1. Swans knew, before the game, Clement's saying this is the biggest game in Swan's history for like the past 10 years or something. So.
And Carroll almost had another one later on with Butland with a fine save.
Great save.
It was good to see him get back into action and really prove himself.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. Let us know. I want to hear from you guys.
And for that last game, that was Swansea's first goal since that Tottenham game like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Leave us some comments on our Facebook page. We would love to hear from you guys. As I sound really squeaky.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were done there.
Every time I try to exacerbate a point, I'm like, you can hardly hear me. All right. So, next game. The KCOM Stadium, Hull City versus Watford. Was this a penalty? Someone tell me. Nasi, was that a penalty? Was that a red card?
Red card.
I don't think it was.
No, I think it's harsh. I think it's a yellow.
I mean, so let's just describe the play, right? So Nasse basically tries to slot a ball through. It gets deflected, and then it's like a 50-50 ball with him and Niang.
Mm-hmm.
Niang gets there maybe slightly before him, and he grazes maybe his shin, I would say.
Like a really lazy attempt at just... I don't even know what it is. It's just a real lazy, labored leg out. That it's not reckless. He's not like lost control or anything like that.
But Niang could have kept on running.
Yeah.
Right? That was, I'm not saying it was a dive, but like he made it look more than what it was. He made a meal out of it.
And the thing is as well, the ref,
Robert Madley.
Yeah.
Looked it up.
Is that his name? Madley's his last name. Is his name Robert?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Didn't sound right. Anyway, let me double check. Bobby Madley, that's his name, yeah.
Robert, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. That's why it didn't sound
right. Nickname, there you go.
So I don't. I think you have to just tell by the player's reaction. He knows he's disappointed himself. He knows it's a lazy leg, and he's 100% expecting just to get a yellow card and go about his day. And then the ref, he shows him the red. I mean, his face was absolutely priceless.
It really was.
Make a, bit of difference.
Yeah, it didn't make a difference at all. Like, because Hull at home under Silva have got 18 before the before this game finish had 16 points out of a possible 18 at home.
Oh wow,
that's fantastic. But I mean, their home form is what's going to keep them up. So 25 minutes in, you lose Niasse, and then you know you're playing against a decent Watford team because they actually started the game pretty well, Watford. And then I have no idea what happened to them. Just
fell off.
Yeah, it's almost like they, maybe they thought it was just going to be like cruise control then against 10 men. But you had Markovic with a really good finish.
Well, I think we should go through the events of that goal.
That was the best counter-attack goal of the weekend.
It was fantastic.
It was amazing.
It was off a free kick that was like to the left of the box, and it kind of pinballed around, and all of a sudden it came up to Robertson. He was off to the races. He passes to Krakowski, who then perfect ball in
such
to Markovic, heads it off the top of the bar, bounces down. I'm not sure if that was a goal or not. That was the thing that never was.
Yeah,
I never could determine. But in the end, Markovic taps it in to confirm it.
Yeah.
But that was a fantastic goal, fantastic counter. It was. But I'm so. If you looked at it, if you saw the play, you're like, who has 10 men and who has 11?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because there was so much space.
It was so poor. And then you're like, you know, Watford. Troy Deeney he's playing up front by himself pretty much. Troy Deeney, and he has his first shot in the whole game in the 91st minute. I mean, it's just poor. But then Sam Klukas with an absolute just wildy half volley.
That was fantastic.
Hit
right?
Like an absolute peach.
From
like,
left to right.
So just relaxed. Just technique was absolute flawless and just rattles it off the bar and in. Brilliant goal. Fair play to him. I think that was his second goal of the season, so good for him.
The next game. The Vitality Stadium was Bournemouth versus Middlesbrough. Bournemouth played pretty decent against a really poor Middlesbrough.
I would say that's better than decent.
Yeah,
4-0,
they were,
you know?
It was game over in 15 minutes.
Middlesbrough
was
so
them.
Bad, so bad.
Well,
I mean,
defending
no doubt.
Was
did, you know, did Bournemouth really have to put the burners on for this game?
No, well, that's the thing. I listened to what Eddie Howe said after the game. So you had Joshua King, who's now scored 10 in his last 11. After, I think it was like a minute and 30 seconds. So already Middlesbrough backs against the wall. And then you got Afobe on 16. And then you have like a real strange 3 minutes from Gaston Ramirez, who decides to dive in the box when he's ran past Cook.
Stepped on his foot.
Yeah, stepped on his foot. He's
Ramirez
him.
Stepped
he's
on his foot, not the other way around.
Yeah. So
total dive.
Yeah, so and then but he carries on for about three and then he's 3 yards
yeah,
past
falls.
Him and then just like throws himself to the ground.
And then he's injured in quotation marks
yeah.
for like the next 10 minutes, not 10 minutes, but you know, a yeah. few minutes.
So
hoping
ridiculous.
That the fake injury essentially will mean that no card for diving.
Yeah.
Of course he gets the card.
And then 2 minutes later he goes absolutely flying in the corner. Doesn't actually make contact, but it's the intent. The players had to almost hurdle him to get out the way.
It just didn't make any sense.
It's just
like,
stupid,
why would you do that?
Especially when your team's, you know,
right.
backs against the wall. You're in the mire. You've got to be pulling together and fighting. Use some experience and just stupidity.
Can a dive fake, you know, for diving, can you get a red for that or is it just a yellow?
Straight yellow. It's auto yellow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Auto yellow. But yeah, what I was saying is Eddie Howe said the sending off kind of had an adverse effect on his player because they did go into cruise control mode, took their foot off the gas, and, you know, to be fair, Negredo had a couple of chances. He hit one on a half volley that bounced up, and it was straight at Boric. But Boric has saved it, and the power in this shot, Boric has had to take like 2 steps back. Just to like,
blown back.
Yeah, it was an absolute rocket. But so, you know, Middlesbrough, they had a couple of half chances when it was at 2-0.
But there were two goals after that. I mean, Pugh had a good
yeah.
one. And then Charlie Daniels had a kind of semi-lucky one, but in the
yeah.
end, well played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then, you know, Bournemouth, 4-0. Top performance, really. Dominated the game from start to finish, and unfortunately, looks like Middlesbrough will be playing championship football next year. So,
Yeah, but fortunately, or is it unfortunate? I mean, come on. I mean, I don't think Middlesbrough over the course of the season have really proven themselves to be a Premier League team. I think defense-wise, at least maybe not in this game, but probably up to about, I don't know, February, they were one of the better defensive teams.
Yeah.
Of late, they really have kind of they've just come apart at the seams, it seems like. For me, Premier League would be better with them taking another year to figure out what they need to do to become a Premier League team.
But understand as well, like, so when you, this is the thing, when you usually when you report to training on a Monday morning, you split up into your teams, if you know what I mean. So you have your defenders working with a defensive coach, and you have like your forwards and that, and midfielders working on transitional plays for the final third. How annoying must it be to be a defender this year for Middlesbrough? You're probably there, like, you know, working your butts off.
Yeah, we did everything we needed to do to win, you know.
And you look up the pitch on a match day and you're like, are these boys ever going to stick it in the net? It's like...
frustrating.
Yeah, it must be so frustrating. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I think the league will be better. I think, you know, yeah, the league is going to be better off not having them in it, to be honest.
And it's kind of interesting. We already know who two of those teams are. Newcastle, no surprise.
Yeah.
And the other is Brighton.
Yeah,
how do we know? I don't know. How do we know already?
Just because they're so
far ahead. Are they
so far
ahead?
Yeah.
So there's like no chance. It's not like a Chelsea.
And Brighton may very well win the league, like the championship.
Yeah, I think Brighton will end up winning it, actually.
It sure looks like.
And then we just wait on the third spot from the playoffs.
I don't think they've ever been in the Premier League, which is crazy.
No.
My sister used to live there.
Yeah. Good old Brighton over Albion.
Yeah. Well,
who's next?
Today.
Onto the Sunday game. So yeah, Man United taking a trip to Turf Moor, to Burnley. Tough place to go and try and get a result, to be honest. They've been really good at home, Burnley. But
not today.
Not today. United turned up, kind of a makeshift team in some degree.
I mean, Rooney was playing, which... If I said that two years ago, you'd be like, of course, by default, right? But now it's like, it's the first time he's started in how long? I mean, how many months actually in the Premier League, not like in a cup game?
I saw the team sheet, I was like, Rooney?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, well, we bought Darmian in, we bought Martial in, we bought Rooney
Martial's
in.
Martial's goal was, I think, one of the best goals of the
But really good counter-attack goal from United.
What are they doing? Their whole team was doing
What about Joey Barton?
Joey Barton,
Take him out.
Yeah. And the thing is, he had two opportunities as well. He had two opportunities to make the foul, and he doesn't take it. But fantastic little pass from Ander Herrera back into Martial's feet. First touch was great, and... the composure to stick it in. So that was good to see. Because I think as a United fan, like, a lot of these games worry you sometimes, because we usually wait so long to even look like, if you know, to see it. I can't even get my words out. Where sometimes we don't look like we're going to score. And then if we do score, it's usually in like the 75th minute, something like that. So it's actually nice to see United score a relatively early goal. And then obviously Rooney scored the second.
And Mourinho before the game said, you know what I would like to have? Two shots and two goals. That's all I want.
We'll talk more when we come back. The time is 27. We'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, welcome back. All right, so quick question before we move on to the next game. Zlatan's injury, obviously. Is he out? Is that career moving, or is that, you know, the rest of the season?
When I saw it on Thursday night, I said that could be career over, because you got to think about it. 35, he's definitely out for the rest of the year. Do you want to go through like the rehab of building it up? You basically don't kick a ball now for 4 months, and you just every day. Fitness and rehabilitation to what, come back next season? And I don't know.
Do we know how many ligaments went?
I have no idea.
I think that's the key. If it was just the ACL, I think that he has a chance to come back. Granted, an ACL usually takes about, 6-9 months. I think that he could play probably in the second half of next season. 4 months is like definitely pushing it. I would say if you're thinking he's going to be ready for the beginning of the season next year, his age, you have to factor that in. If you don't factor that in, you're not.
Well, the thing, let's say he can play. Let's say he can play the second half of next year. Okay, at 36 years old, he'll be then. Think about it from a business point of view. Now, yeah, we paid no money for him, but we paid the guy £250,000 a week. Do you pay a 35-year-old that you know you're only going to get 3 months of football out of now? Do you still continue to pay a year's salary on that? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
that may be the reason he goes to MLS. If you think about it, the MLS season starts later than most of the other leagues, and that may be the perfect setup. Actually, this it could be. Obviously, it's sad. You know, you don't want to see someone. It's not like his career's ending, but his career in Europe could very well be over because of this. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so it says out till January 2018 after tearing his ACL in the sun. So,
yeah, so, I don't see how from now until January the 1st that United commit to
paying that those wages.
Paying those wages.
Those wages are huge.
Million pound a month, basically.
Yeah.
For the next, what, let's say nine. Yeah, 10 million quid we're going to end up paying. I mean, look, you got to pay him his dues. If we end up getting top four this year and playing Champions League football, he was the reason we got there. I mean, his goals in games, he just scores. He knows where the back of the net is, and he scores the most important goals for us this year. So
yeah, but do you pay someone that kind of money because you know, thank you very much for getting us to where we are?
No, I'm not saying that.
You have to be a businessman here. You cannot be making these decisions with your heart. But how
frustrating would it be then? He's a little bit of a, like, an anomaly, I think, because that you had Giggs play until he was 40.
Yeah, but Giggs was a United guy his whole life.
Yeah.
So you owed it to him. Kind of like Chelsea with John Terry.
Yeah, granted,
he may play somewhere else next year.
But I think my point is that how frustrating would it be if he comes back January, because he's already a fit guy. Everyone knows that he's, like, he never used to be when he was younger, but his dedication to that side of the profession is like second to none. So the reason that he's played for as long as he has is because he never gets injured because of how fit he is. This was kind of a freak accident.
Yeah, but he's also been like a kind of weird guy off the field, I would say, a little bit. He's so full of himself. I mean, is he the kind of guy that can almost learn how to walk again, you know, and put the effort into all of this? I know it sounds crude. It sounds horrible.
Yeah, I think.
But he's just such a weird persona.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But you don't play. I think it's a misconception, public misconception of what he's really like. He does say things like that.
No, but you say hear these interviews
he knows he's box office as well. It seems Mourinho does.
The other day, literally 2 weeks ago, they were asking him about who he thought about who was going to be in line for the PFA and who's the best striker in the Premier League. And he said, I think the best striker in the Premier League is probably Lukaku, or Aguero, or probably Harry Kane. And the interviewer goes, oh, you didn't say yourself. And he goes, no, you wanted me to pick human beings, right? And they are like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, because a lion doesn't compare himself to humans.
It's so weird. Like, this is the stuff he said his whole career. And he's been very successful everywhere he's been except for maybe Barcelona.
I think my point is, you're not 35 going on 36 playing at the highest level at this game and not have that secret dedication to that hard work.
That's very true. That's very true.
My guess is probably as soon as he hit 30, he's in the yoga room every day, and guys are probably laughing at him, what is Lat doing? But he knows, he's smart enough to know what he needs to do to prolong his career and things like that.
Well, hey, I think we all hope that he comes back healthy as ever, because when he is playing on his game, he's as good as anyone out there. He is world class.
Yeah.
He's been that way for the last decade plus. He's one of the more consistent players that's played for so many teams.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've got a lot more to talk about, so we probably should move on.
All right, so the last game was Liverpool versus Crystal Palace, and this felt really good.
Yeah, I just want to know if anyone out there put that cheeky fiver on that I mentioned last week.
You did say 2-1, didn't
2-1
you?
2-1 Palace at Anfield, yeah.
And Benteke got both.
Pretty sure you all laughed at me, but yeah, Benteke comes back to haunt the ex, Anfield
the ex-Liverpool
yeah.
player.
Yeah. And it's so, like, if I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be going mental. Like, you go 1-0 up through Coutinho, and...
Great free kick.
And it's just like, just get the job done. They don't know how to get the job done. This kind of... And the reason I went with a Palace win is because if you remember about 3 seasons ago when they were going for the title, they actually... It was at Palace that last 3 years ago, whatever it was. They went there. They were 3-0 up with like 12 minutes to go. And they just kept going for more goals. Remember when they were chasing... I think they were chasing Chelsea. No, just City or Chelsea for... the title. They're level on points,
Chelsea.
But they had to like make up six goals
goal
or something like that. So Brendan Rodgers is like waving them all forward to like, yeah, let's make it 5-6-0, something like that. And then within 12 minutes, old Gale scored 2. And I don't know who scored the other one, but yeah, it ended up being 3-3.
But that's the season that everyone remembers because of the
Stevie
Gerrard
G
slip.
Yeah. Stevie G.
And then
we
Torres takes
now.
It in
Unlucky.
For the goal.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I mean... No, I mean, the key is Benteke, 2 goals, really stabs it in the heart of his ex-team. And you know what? Liverpool, they lose again to a team that they probably shouldn't have, whether on home or away. This one was a home, but we were saying it last week. Like, they seem to beat the teams that they shouldn't, and they lose to the teams that, well, they shouldn't either.
Yeah, it's rubbish. It's just shocking.
All right, well, we'll skip the table right now. I think the table hasn't really moved that much, but we'll move on.
I know. Yeah, go ahead.
We'll move on to Champions League. Get that out of the way because I mean, we had
there were some fantastic Champions League games this past week. I mean, you really can choose wherever you want to start. We'll start with the English game, of course, with Leicester. They were the lone English team left. They had that was the Wednesday game, or sorry, that was the Tuesday game. But we were playing Atletico. They ended up drawing 1-1. And going down, losing on aggregate 2-1 to Atletico Madrid. Do you see that game?
So the first leg, they got absolutely dominated and got out of there 1-0 down. And then they come to the King Power. And to be honest, they got dominated the first half.
They did.
But second half, I mean, talk about getting the spirit back into a team. They were brilliant.
King Power was rocking.
Just absolute rocking. Vardy gets the goal.
Which was actually... First time I watched it, I was like, okay, that looked kind of scrappy. Then I watched it again, I was like, you know what? He had 2 people that were on the line there, not including the goalkeeper. He only had a few places to place it, and he went up for the upper 90, kind of.
It was, like,
well played.
Yeah, those first like 25, 30 minutes of the second half was all Leicester. Like, Leicester were basically running over Atletico Madrid. It was brilliant, like, kind of magical to watch that. But then, obviously... Atletico, like, you know, they really did control probably the last 15 minutes of that game.
And that Saul header was great, if you saw it. Like, that was a lot of power that came on that from a Felipe Luis cross.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of... I mean, Saul had some great goals for Atletico Madrid in the Champions League the last few years. He's turned out to be a pretty big-time player for them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did anyone watch the Real Madrid Bayern game?
Well, that was the other one that was also on Tuesday. Brilliant. That was fantastic. That was probably the game of either the Tottenham Chelsea game or this one, which was the game of the week.
Yeah, Mark can feel a little better about it
because it went to extra time.
It went to extra time, so it was coming into the game. Real Madrid were up 2-1 on aggregate, and then the only way to go to extra time is to have to be 2-1 the other way. And, so went to extra time. Vidal with a very harsh red card, or second yellow, I should say, late in the second half, where he arguably got ball then man maybe the same time. But apparently I was watching it, and Casemiro had a few chances. Like, there was a penalty that he gave up against Robin where he was also on a yellow, which is the same thing. It didn't seem like the referee was very consistent in that situation.
Well, who got sent off then in the first leg? Because they had somebody get sent off, because Bayern were 1-0 up in the first leg, and then they had someone sent off, didn't they? I thought that was Vidal, but maybe it wasn't.
No, it wasn't Vidal. No.
But they had somebody sent off, and that's, you know, when they went down to 10 minutes when Ronnie scored them both, didn't he? Because it was 2-1 first leg.
Yeah, 2-1, yeah. Ronaldo had both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Barcelona played Juventus 0-0. Juventus go through on aggregate.
Quality Juventus were. Just
yeah, 0-0, and one of those team, one of those games that if you're trying to show a squad some young kids how to play defense, this is the game right here. I mean, Juve were playing as a team, and they actually were playing great on the counter too.
Yeah,
Cuadrado had a number of chances on the counter coming back on the right side. He eventually got subbed off, and the referee was like, "Come on, boy, why don't you jog off?" He was like, "Well, I don't know how many kilometers I've run, but there ain't no way I'm running anymore." It was kind of hilarious.
Yeah. And then the last game was Monaco versus Dortmund, 3-1 to Monaco.
So there's one player for Monaco that's going to end up somewhere, and that's Mbappe.
Yeah.
That guy, he scored in four consecutive games, first player ever to score in four games straight in the knockout stages. He looks the real deal.
Yeah.
He hasn't scored a huge number of, I think it's like 12 times or something like that in the league. But he looks like he's a star in the making. I think he's only like 18 or something like that.
You know what? They're your sneaky pick. They're your sneaky pick to win it.
They're like an old Porto team that Mourinho had.
Because
everyone,
to be fair, like when the draw comes out and that people they're going to want to play. All the other teams are going to want to play Monaco. I think that's what they think is the easier route. I fancy Monaco to get to the final and upset the apple cart a little bit.
Well, think about who they've taken down along the way.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like they've been playing nobody. They came from behind to beat Manchester City.
Yeah,
which I think everyone was very, very surprised about. They beat Dortmund pretty handily in the end.
Yeah.
These are not teams that are scrubs. I mean, Dortmund has gone pretty deep in the Champions League, and City, granted they lost today, but they're in terms of talent, they're about as good as any team out there.
Yeah.
All right, so you had one last game to talk about, the El Clasico, right?
El Clasico. And it was, well, just that, a Clasico today. Wow. Messi won it in the 90-something minute in extra time. It really was one to remember. The game was back and forth, and you know, really, this blows the La Liga wide open. Like Madrid had a chance to really put it away, and kind of cruise control into the last few games. But now it's as close as it can be, and it's like it's just, hey, you know what? What's going to happen now? Because, I mean, if you saw the game, it was unbelievable. It was going back and forth.
A draw would have been great for Real Madrid.
And it nearly was.
And it's like, yeah, but then you have he's such an idiot. Sergio Ramos just seems to get sent off every single week. And he gets sent off in the 77th, 78th minute. And then Barca score in the 85th. To make it 2-2, and
Real Madrid scored. Real Madrid, that Barca was up 2-1 at that point.
Oh, and
Javi Ramos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just read it.
What's his name? James had a nice little flick on from Marcelo. Marcelo had an amazing game. At that point it was kind of crazy. It was like, okay, what's going to happen? And then Sergi Roberto took a, like, just unbelievably just went right through the midfield. He had an amazing counterattack and set up a few players that kind of pass it around here, there, and then all of a sudden Messi gets the ball and just smashes it into the left side of the net. I mean, at this point, it's like, wow, what's going to happen in the league? You look at it right now, they're both tied 75 points with, granted, Real Madrid have a game in hand, but still, 75 points, and Barcelona have the goal differential by a significant margin. So Real Madrid are going to have to win this outright.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So let's look over the fixtures. It's getting really busy now. Pretty much now until, well, May 21st, it's going to be packed. But so we have Tuesday, we have Chelsea versus Southampton.
You would expect Chelsea to win.
You would expect Chelsea to win.
But I'm thinking Southampton might pull off a little bit of a...
The problem is with that fixture, is that Southampton aren't really have anything to play for. That's the problem.
And it's at the Bridge.
Well, they might want to play just to disrupt the apple cart.
All
right, so Wednesday, Arsenal versus Leicester.
I'm going Leicester 1-0.
Yeah, me too. Middlesbrough versus Sunderland.
0-0. No shots at goal.
Crystal Palace versus Spurs.
This one scares me.
Yeah.
This one scares me a lot. Tottenham have to play three London derbies in a row. They play West Ham, Crystal Palace, and Arsenal. And not in that order, I should say.
I'll go 2-1. 2-1 Tottenham.
I would expect Tottenham to win this. Granted, we seem to always struggle against Crystal Palace.
And then Thursday, Man City versus Man United. And I think it's at the Etihad, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
it's at the Etihad. David Silva getting injured today. We'll see if that comes into play on Thursday. This is going to be a great game.
You know what? I'm going United 2-0. Got a feeling. My boy Rashford, I'm telling you.
Rashford may not even play.
Nah, Rashford's in there, mate. That's why he didn't start today. Saving him to run Otamendi ragged.
All right, so Saturday, that puts us into the weekend. Southampton versus Hull.
I fancy Hull on that. Hull are on an absolute
Hull are playing pretty well.
Steamer right now.
Stoke versus West Ham.
0-0.
Sunderland versus Bournemouth.
Bournemouth 2-0.
West Brom versus Leicester.
1-1.
Lots of draws.
Yeah, Crystal Palace versus Burnley.
I'll go Palace.
Palace, yeah.
And then Sunday, next week, we have Man United versus Swansea.
United.
Everton versus Chelsea.
I'm going Everton. I think that's your trump card.
I hope so.
I think Lukaku coming back to haunt Chelsea.
That would be fantastic to see.
I can see Everton actually stomping that like 3-0.
Middlesbrough versus Man City.
Man City are going to roll rampant.
6-0.
Spurs versus Arsenal.
That is going to be a tough one. Let me just say for the record, Greggy, last week you said 5-0 Spurs for the record. So has it come down a game or a goal or two?
I know.
What are you thinking?
I'm going Spurs to thrash them. I think it'll be... I said 5 as a joke, but I think 3-0 is probably more accurate.
What about you?
I just want a victory. I'm not predicting scores at this point. We just need 3 points.
All right, guys. Hopefully my voice will be better next Sunday. But from myself, Andy...
Ryan.
And Alex.
We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.